You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Watching online this morning, what an incredible sight behind me here. Yes, thank you, Bridget, one of you. I want to ask you this morning, why did you do that? For those who participated in preparing a shoebox or gave money towards them, what motivated you to do this? Ah, great. Yeah. Children saved, love, yep. Spread the word, brilliant. What was your thinking when you went shopping and chose the items to fill your shoebox? Or for those who gave finance towards them, what was your thought process in deciding how much to give? Was there a feeling of reluctance or obligation or duty or maybe guilt? Did you watch those videos each week and kind of feel forced to do something? I don't believe so. When I look at these boxes this morning, it speaks to me of generosity, of a heart of love, of giving, of wanting to bless someone else and those reasons that you've shared. Not just with material things though, which of course will be a blessing, but also with that opportunity of hope, that hope that we have received and know, that hope of a relationship with our Creator, and that hope of eternity spent with the greatest love gift of all, and that is Jesus. Was that your motivation? As I've been thinking about that this week and the season that we're stepping into for the rest of the year, and as we've met for prayer over the last few weeks to pray together for our church and community, I've been challenged by the words of Matthew 7 that says, "If you then, though you are evil," because we are all sinful, "if you know how to give good gifts to your children or to the children around the world, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" How much more? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, is how that verse finishes. Confucius allegedly said, "Don't do to others what you don't want done unto you." The famous Jewish rabbi Hillel said similarly, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. This is the whole Torah," he said. Jesus took this passive negative instruction and turned it into a positive proactive. Do to others what you want others to do to you. The Quran also took this biblical principle from Jesus as well. So the principle is obviously an important one. But what about the first part of this verse? It says, "How much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Why? Because of His great love for us. Last week, Sean reminded us of Ephesians 3:20. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout the generations, forever and ever. Amen." Did you hear that? He is able to do immeasurably more than we can even imagine. Do we believe that this morning? How much more is that? We can't even measure it. We can't even imagine it. But He is able to do more in us and through us. And I want to encourage us all this morning that even though our prayer focus month has come to an end, let's not stop praying. Let's pray without ceasing for our church, for our community, for our family. But can I challenge us all to pray boldly, to pray believing that our Father in heaven wants to give us immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. This is his heart towards you. This is his heart towards me and towards us as a family. Can we pray with expectancy that we will see people, more people, come to know Jesus? We will see miracles and healing and the power of God move in our community. Can we ask the Lord to bring children and youth and young adults and young families into this family? Let's not give up praying for our own community right here. Right now, that's just a basketball hitting the wall. Don't panic, anyone. Right now, we're going to stand together and we're going to pray for the young people and communities that will receive these. And we're going to ask Jesus to do immeasurably more than we can even imagine for those communities that we pray for. Those communities that are going to be touched by your love, the God that you serve that they don't know yet, and by your generosity. So let's stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, as we have already acknowledged, you are a great and good God. You are mighty, you are powerful, you are amazing. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of love that has been instilled in our hearts and motivated us to express our generosity in these shoeboxes. Lord, as they go out in the next few weeks to those that don't have the riches that we have, would you do immeasurably, exceedingly above what we could even imagine to transform lives for you? Lord, would you draw those children and those communities to yourself? Would you show a reality of your amazing love to them? And Lord, would you minister to each one to transform whole villages and whole countries for you? We ask you, Lord, for souls saved. We ask you for your kingdom to be glorified and your name to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. But I'd like to acknowledge a few people who have been instrumental in helping us do all of this, facilitating this. So forgive me if I miss anyone, but I'd like to acknowledge Francis and Wilma, Trish and her team, Lynn, Yvonne. I've left my phone in my office, so that's why I'm struggling for names. Some teachers that have gone above and beyond, Helen Robinson, Melina, Annalie. Can't hear you. Cherie. And anyone else I've forgotten, apologies to you, but can we give them a round of applause and just thank them? Thank you so much. We couldn't have done this without your help, and so we appreciate the extra time and effort that you have put in. Thank you so much. Well, what is it? 10:14. All right. I want to have a brief look this morning at 1 Thessalonians 1. And we're going to read it together. It's a short chapter, so don't panic. But it speaks to us. And my message this morning is very simple. It's nothing new. But I pray that somehow the words that I speak are taken by the Holy Spirit to ignite something within you. So let's read together. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message ran out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What a wonderful remembrance Paul and his co-workers, Timothy and Silas, give to the church in Thessalonica. My prayer is that RBC would be known by these characteristics when people think of our family of believers. And we've shown just a little glimpse of that this morning. The church this epistle has been written to here are a group of believers, both Jews and Gentiles together. The Gentiles have turned from idolatry and they have all devoted themselves to God the Father and to Jesus Christ. They were, as we would call it, a Christian church united in Christ Jesus, just like us. In fact, Paul could write this to us. In verse 4, Paul starts off, "We know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you." The New Testament Greek word here for brothers and sisters is adelphoi, which refers to siblings or from the same womb. And Paul is using this word to refer to believers as part of God's family. In fact, at least 15 times in Thessalonians, where brothers and sisters are mentioned, he uses this same term. He's emphasizing the incredible love of God that has chosen each one of us to be in his family. We are his children. We are siblings together. So from this deep conviction and conversion, the bond of the unity and fellowship of the Holy Spirit is in their church. And we see from verse 5, it says, "The gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." It changed lives. It goes on to say, "You became imitators of us and the Lord." They became disciples who were making disciples. Each one touching lives for Jesus. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit, it says. You became an example, or verse 7 says, a model to all believers, and your faith in God has become known everywhere. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The believers in Thessalonians didn't have to tell people about what had happened. They were living it. And the testimony spread far and wide, not because they were boasting, but because they gained a reputation. Jesus' love was touching others and people were hearing about it. I love how Matthew Henry explains the details of what Paul was so thankful to God for. He says these were the reasons of his thanksgiving. Number one, their faith and their work of faith. Their hope and the patience of hope. Their love and labour of love. And we've heard testimonies about all of these this morning. I'm going to add my little addition to these titles, but let's briefly look at these 3 points. Number one, living faith, their faith and their work of faith. We've read in this passage that the Thessalonian church was famous for their faith. It says their faith became known everywhere. Henry says this is the radical grace, and their faith was a true and living faith. Wherever there is a true faith, it will have an influence on heart and life. We have comfort in our own faith and the faith of others when we perceive the work of faith, he says. In other words, we are confident of our own salvation and our faith in Christ, And this will also spur us on in working for Christ. James 2:18 says it this way, "But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds.' Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." Faith by itself is something that you cannot see, you cannot touch. How can faith be seen, observed, or displayed? Paul says to the Thessalonians, "Your work produced by faith." They had faith, but it was not invisible. It produced something, and he calls it work. Work. You know, actually doing something to express our faith. How can you demonstrate or show faith in your everyday life? Our faith in the living Christ spurs us on to show our faith in the way we live. Number two, living hope, their hope and the patience of hope. Lisa and Danny are living examples of that today. We persevere because of hope. Henry says, "This grace is compared to the soldier's helmet and the sailor's anchor, and is of great use in times of danger. Wherever there is well-grounded hope of eternal life, it will appear by the exercise of patience. In a patient bearing of hard times and suffering of the present time, and a patient waiting for the glory to be revealed." Because we're not promised to not have suffering, are we? But we have someone, and we have faith and hope in eternity that helps us bear suffering. Romans 8:25 simply says, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Our hope anchored in the living Christ spurs us on to perseverance, to persistence, to patience, and joyful living because of the hope of eternity. Number three, living love. Their love and labor of love. We know that love is the greatest commandment, don't we? Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Love is one of the essential graces, Henry says. It is of great use to us in this life and will remain and be perfected in the life to come. Faith works by love. It shows itself in the exercise of love to God and love to neighbour. Love to family. Could we say that the evidence of our love for God is how we love our neighbour? And that is not just our attitude towards them or being all touchy-feely. It's about sacrificial loving. It's about giving possessions and finances and time and yourself. It's about doing something to express that love. Can we tell someone in a relationship that we love them and just leave it at that? What about your wife or husband or children? Can you love them without showing them? Well, you can try for a little while, but it's not going to go down too well, is it? And if you really love them, you can't help but show them anyway. You can't help but do something to show love. Our love of the living Christ spurs us to living that life of love for our neighbour. Paul is continually thankful to God because of this local church's work produced by faith, their labour prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the object and the cause, the inspiration of the Thessalonian church. He is the object and the cause and the inspiration of Rockingham Baptist Church too. It is because of his great love, and we've sung that today, that we show his love to others. Remember Romans 12, 10 to 12, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. That's a tricky one for us all, isn't it? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And the famous 1 Corinthians 13, 13. These three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. My prayer for us is that Rockingham Baptist Church is a family united in Christ, living faith, living hope, and living love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.